Good morning and welcome to the Health and Aging Show, where we talk about the joys and the challenges of growing older in this great state. And we talk to local experts about what they see happening as people age, as well as the services that are available for you and your loved one. I'm your host, Jason McDermott, and I'm joined this morning with Michelle Bacharka, is that right?
Exactly. Bacharka.
Bacharka, that's right. I told you I was going to mess it up. See, I'm going to start the show out right. That's good. And Michelle, you are with East Mountain Hospice, is that correct?
I am.
Well, good morning. Thank you for coming.
Thank you for having me.
Welcome to the show. We have been excited to talk about hospice. We get these questions about hospice all the time. And you are the first hospice person on the show, so no pressure.
Yeah.
You're going to have a lot of questions and a lot of explaining to do here about hospice.
See what I can do to help you out.
That's good. Well, again, welcome. And let's talk about you, Michelle. I always like to get to know our guests before we get to know, you know, their businesses or what they do. Let's talk about Michelle. Are you from Albuquerque? You're from New Mexico?
I've been here 10 years.
10 years.
Yes.
That's a long time. That's a long time.
That's a resident.
Where are you originally from?
California.
So I'm sure they got just as good as weather as we have in New Mexico, right?
Well, pretty good.
Yeah. New Mexico has the best weather for sure.
Yeah.
And so tell me, you're a third generation nurse, is that correct?
I am, yes. My grandmother, she was a school nurse, and then my mother did home health nursing for, 40 years.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, really, I don't even know.
The apple doesn't fall too far.
That's right. Well, I got to say, I already like your mother. I never met her. I love her. Yeah, because if you're in it for 40 years, me and you both know you got to have a passion for it.
She knew what she was doing.
I mean, that's great. I mean, absolutely. And kind of like what we talked about before the show, I actually, you know, you're in good company because I have nurses in my family as well, too. And it's a great thing. You got to love what you do.
You do.
Yep, absolutely. So, I mean, and I'm assuming you've lived here 10 years and you love Albuquerque. Do you like to hike?
I do a lot of hiking. In the foothills a lot.
Me too. Absolutely. Yeah. And what about kayaking? You're a fisherman or a fisher person?
Done some paddleboarding. Love fishing.
Yes. Right. I actually read an article the other day that paddleboarding is getting pretty popular. One of our lakes, Cochiti Lake.
Yeah, exactly.
It's becoming a pretty popular thing.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so everyone listening, grab your paddleboards. We'll meet you there.
Let's do this.
It's the Health and Age Show. That's the healthy thing to do, right?
Yeah.
That's funny. All right. Enough small talk, Michelle. Let's get down to the nitty-gritty of hospice here. So I do know that you are the owner of hospice and the executive director of East Mountain Hospice. Now, first thing I want to ask them, East Mountain Hospice, does that mean you're only staying up there in the East Mountains? You're not coming down here to Albuquerque to provide this service?
That's a really good question. Yeah. Actually, our office is up in East Mountains, and we service all of the East Mountains, but we also service the greater Albuquerque area, Belen and Las Lunas. Oh. We have some patients all over that area.
And that was definitely a loaded question because I knew the answer. And I know that you're here in Albuquerque, but I definitely want our listeners to understand it.
You got it.
Because you're named East Mountain doesn't mean you're stuck in East Mountains. Yes. Yeah. And we appreciate you coming, I don't want to say off the mountain, but off the mountain.
Well, you know, we have patients here. So.
That's good. And let's talk about hospice. And I know we get this question a lot, and I know we've talked about, before the show here, what is hospice? What is categorized as a hospice service? And then we can talk about compared to other services and, pays for what service and, walk our listeners through. Yeah, lots of questions. That's right. And we got a good show ahead of us.
Well, I'll answer your first question.
Yeah. So what is hospice? What would you categorize hospice
as? What is hospice? And, I have other people ask that too. What it is it's basically an extra added layer of care. They say, the last 6 months of your life. So you might get a referral from, say, a physician saying this patient has, we'll just say, for example, stage 4 cancer, end-stage cancer. They might even have some other comorbidities like heart failure or something like that.
Right.
So really, hospice comes in as an extra layer of care. We come to wherever the patient is, so it doesn't have to be, at an assisted living. It could be in their home. It can be an assisted living.
But it could be in places as well.
Wherever the patient is, we come to the patient.
Great.
And we have a team.
Great. Now, are hospice also, do hospitals have hospice units? I mean, how does...
They do. There are a couple hospitals here that have inpatient hospice units.
Right.
We do not partake in that because that is their hospice that they have as their program. But there's a lot of... needs that they might just send a patient home on hospice and then they might do a referral to us, or there's plenty of other hospitals that give us referrals.
Well, I tell you what, honestly, I would want to be home if I was on hospice, and I think probably and majority
most people
of people
do.
Want to.
Most
yeah.
people want to have their family around them and their comfortable, you know, atmosphere. So.
Absolutely. So hospice is, like you said, it's a service towards the, I don't want to say end of one's life, but I mean, that's correct. You know, 6 months to.
Yeah.
You know,
I mean, there's no crystal ball too.
Right.
So, I mean, there's certification periods. We, the payer source generally is Medicare. And they have unlimited, basically, certification periods. There's, you know, like 90 days, and then there's another 90 days.
Right.
And then there's basically unlimited 60 days. So if we take a look at a patient that is on the same trajectory of what's going on with their disease process, it can keep going on and on, and Medicare will keep paying as long as we can qualify the patient as being appropriate for hospice.
Which I'm assuming is pretty it's pretty typical.
End of life.
Of
yeah,
course,
I mean, if,
right, of
yeah,
course. I mean,
sure.
I mean.
Yeah.
So my question is, and I've always wondered this personally, have you ever had a hospice client and then all of a sudden they're not dying, they're doing good, they've kind of made a turnaround?
Yes, actually we do. And sometimes that's a conversation we have with people.
Right.
Sometimes talking about the H word is difficult, you know,
right.
talking about hospice for a patient. So we'll talk about, you know, if this family member, they start to get better, they can absolutely come off. You have a right to get off at any time you want to get off of this service.
And the reason I say that, it actually comes from a personal experience. You know, our company had a client, you know, they had a hospice, and actually terminated service. They got better,
they
you know,
do.
And I want to say that, you know, with make sure I tell the full story. They did resume hospice again at another point, but they did stop it, you know.
And that's pretty common.
Right.
If they're going to come off, chances are they're going to end up coming right back on later
right.
on, you know, because they'll do better for a while.
Right.
So, and that's wonderful. That's wonderful.
And now, the reason I'm pointing that out, because like you said, I think some people are afraid of the H word.
Yeah.
And they think, you know, that's a certificate of, you know, you're done. And mm-hmm. it's really not the case.
Really what, you know, when people are having difficulty with the hospice, what we tell them is it's another layer of care. You have nursing coming to you 1 to 3 times a week. You have a health aide that comes with hygiene, helps give you showers or bed baths, whatever the needs might be.
Right.
So instead of going to the doctor, say, once a month or going to the hospital again and again and again, we can take care of you in your home.
Right.
We can offer all the services, whether it be medication, nursing services. We're checking your vitals, we're monitoring progress and change, and then we have a medical director, a physician, who oversees the entire medical program of hospice, and if we have any changes, we run it through him, and he says, you know, yeah, let's add this or let's take this away. So it's a complete team. We also have a social worker and a chaplain. It's a integrated interdisciplinary team.
Well, that's
what it is.
You know, it's funny, I'm glad you said it, because it needs to be a team. And it's sometimes, especially, you know, when a person is receiving that care, it needs to be a team because, you know, decisions are, you know, being made by a group of people, not by just one person.
Yeah.
Like you said, it's a team. Everyone's working together. I actually prefer that.
Yeah.
I think the team approach is so much better because, you know, the team's going to make a collaborative decision. One person's just not making a decision. So I think it's great.
And we sit down with the whole family and, you know, whoever they want there, and we talk about it in depth and
right.
kind of go over, you know, what this layer of care is going to be for them.
Right, right. So how does hospice service start? Is this something that does a doctor call you, how does hospice get in? I mean, of course, we know it gets.
It comes in different ways.
Right.
I'd say a majority of times we have patients that they just don't want to go to the hospital anymore. They're done.
Right.
They have a terminal disease process, and they say, you know what, I don't want to go to the hospital anymore. I just want to stay home.
Right.
That's a great time to think about having hospice come in.
So can they receive the same services in home that they do in the hospital?
Well,
to a certain degree, I imagine.
To a certain
right.
degree, certainly.
Right.
We're not doing all kinds of preventative measures. It's more palliative, which is comfort, right? Comfort
right.
measures.
You bet.
So we're treating their pain. We're just kind of treating symptoms day to day. So we're not doing these kind of preventative things, like we're not going to do more chemotherapy. We're not going
right.
to be doing more surgeries,
of course,
or
right.
catheterizations of the heart or whatever. It's just comfort, you know,
right.
keeping you comfortable in your own environment with the ones around you that love you. So
I agree, and I think that's great. So back to what we're talking about, you know, when is that point that somebody asks for hospice? And you were saying really it could be a point that they're just tired of going to the hospital twice a week or, you
yeah.
know, once a week.
Mm-hmm.
Now, is that something a doctor calls you, or does a doctor say, you know what, you know, Ms. Smith here needs, you know, needs hospice?
Mm-hmm. Really, it can be just about anybody that can refer. It can be your sister. It can be your son. They see this terminal progress going on, and then we get records from the hospitals, from your doctors, and then we have a doctor that certifies that the patient, yes, they're absolutely hospice appropriate.
Oh, okay.
So really, it can be a caregiver that's taking care of the family member and says, you know what, I think this patient needs some hospice, and then we get it certified through a doctor. So.
Oh, okay. So I'm trying to walk our listeners through this, a couple scenarios. That's what I'm getting at here. So, you know, let's say someone's parents, you know, going through a process or going through some treatment, and like, you know what, maybe this is a good time to call hospice. So absolutely, those people can initiate that step.
They can.
Either can they call you? Do you come out and do an assessment and then contact their doctor? Is that how it works?
Both ways. So we might have, say, a patient that has got, we'll say, cancer. The wife calls us and says, you know what, I think that my husband might be appropriate for hospice. Can you come out and do an assessment? It doesn't cost you anything for us to come out and do an assessment. We go out there, we do an assessment, head to toe, get a history, maybe get a list of medications, fill out some information as to who's been seeing them in the past, and we contact those doctors for records.
Right.
After the doctor says that, yes, I believe this patient's appropriate for hospice, that's when care starts. And then we certify them.
And I'm assuming certification is important because that's how they pay for services through Medicare. Medicare wants to see that certification.
Right.
That's
right. They do. The payer source is Medicare for the most part. If you've ever worked, you've pretty much got Medicare.
Right.
You've paid into it for years. It's nice to see that, you know, it's putting to good use. We also do Medicaid and some other insurances, TRICARE for sure. And we have a lot of VA patients we've worked with in the past.
Okay. Well, if somebody's interested, I guess just talking with you about this stuff, but what's a good number someone could call you at?
It's 505 area code 286-4219.
19, okay. And how about a website? You guys on the
website? We do have a website. Okay. It's eastmountainhospice.com, all one word.
Well, that sounds easy enough.
Yeah.
And then we kind of giggled, I guess, before the show. You're on Facebook, right?
We are. We have a Facebook account as well.
That's good. I'm assuming they could just look up.
We have volunteers that contact us through that, too. We're always looking for volunteers.
Well, we're going to have to talk more about that,
yes,
for sure.
We do.
Okay. Well, I tell you what, don't go away, Michelle, because we're going to take a break. We're going to talk more about hospice and the great services you guys do. You're listening to the Health and Aging Show on 1050 KTBL. Welcome back to the Health and Aging Show. I'm your host, Jason McDermott, and I want to remind you that the Health and Aging Show is brought to you by Mariposa Home Health. If you have a loved one who's getting older and needs some assistance, Mariposa Home Health has caregivers who can help as little as 2 hours a day to 24 hours a day with transportation, bathing, meal preparation, and more. Rates are surprisingly affordable. Call Mariposa Home Health today at 505-234-1744. Or visit their website at www.mariposahomehealth.com. That's MARIPOSA, homehealth.com. If you're just tuning in, we've been talking with Michelle with East Mountain Hospice and the great services they offer outside as well as the East Mountain.
Yes.
We're not going to let the name deceive our listeners and say, you know what, I'm not going to call Michelle. She's only in East Mountains. It's not correct. I know you do services throughout New Mexico and Albuquerque, Belen, we said Las Lunas.
Yes.
That's right. Well, and if you're just tuning in, we have been talking about really what is hospice. That is a question we actually get a lot. We get a lot about hospice and really what hospice is, and you know, how it differs from other stuff. You know, like personal care services. Maybe someone's getting in their home. Any other kind of services. So hospice, we'll kind of walk through it again. As you were saying before, hospice is really more towards the end of life, right? Someone that's terminally ill, is that correct? I want to make sure I say that right.
Yeah, it's a terminally ill patient, maybe somebody that has the last 6 months or so of their life. Someone that needs another extra layer of care. Sometimes hospice isn't brought in until too late when they could have used the services a lot sooner. You know, having that extra layer of care with nursing services in their home, a few times a week, a health aid for showers, spiritual support from a pastoral counselor, perhaps. We have a counselor who works with that. We have a social worker who helps with maybe benefits, VA benefits.
That's interesting. So let's talk about a social worker. And we can try to get into everyone that works on your team.
Yes.
So social worker, what is a job as a social worker? You know, it's funny. That's actually another question I get a lot as well, too. Well, do I need a social worker?
Hmm.
You know, and I always suggest having a social worker because most social workers are really knowledgeable as far as what services are available for a person.
Yeah, social work is a great member of our interdisciplinary group of hospice. We pull them in the beginning and we go over things like maybe power of attorney paperwork.
Great.
We go over things like what are your benefits? Do you need assistance with different types of your health insurance? The thing is when you're on hospice, generally, it's Medicare that's paying for it. But if you are doing treatment for something else that is not related to your diagnosis, let's say you want to go in for foot care, you Right. still can utilize your regular insurance that you normally do in addition to your Medicare. So our different aspects of the Medicare. Medicare Part A pays for hospice, and then the Part B pays for some other, say, doctor's appointments. So the social work really helps with any kind of assistance with, you know, direction for referrals, even a referral to maybe an assisted living,
right.
a referral to a caregivers.
So your social work working for your company can also give them direction outside your company, am I correct on that?
Yes. And they have a lot of tools in their basket, for sure.
Do you ever get calls, I'm asking because I don't know, do you ever get calls just for social work? Like, hey, you know, you guys.
Yeah. No. 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 They're a great member of the team, but it's hospice
services.
It's
hospice. And they kind of got off.
But they do utilize the social workers quite a bit.
I bet. Honestly, I bet that's a huge, because, you know, and I talk about this a lot on the show that, you know, when people are in these situations, especially hospice, everyone kind of doesn't know what to do. I think especially family members and, you know, they don't know what to do. So they're always looking for guidance on what services they should look for or who they should talk to. So
you're not born knowing this. It's
right.
something that you kind of pick up along the way. It's very special to be part of someone's life in the last stages. And a lot of people have never been around hospice or a dying person, so they can use the help.
Well,
for sure.
Which brings me back to my question. It's just been in my head the whole time we've been talking, even starting the shows. How did you get into hospice? I mean, why did you get into hospice? Honestly, being in the industry, hospice is not that it's a scary thing, but it's definitely a thing you have to have passion for. It's not that it's a gloom thing. It's not, honestly. Mm-hmm. And we kind of talked about it during the break. I actually think it's a privilege to be a part of someone's, you know, end of their journey, I'll say.
Special, very special.
But how did you get it? What made you know, you're a nurse. So honestly, I know nurses. They can work anywhere.
Whatever
by the way,
field,
anybody listening want to be a nurse, I suggest you be a nurse.
it's a great field to be in. You can certainly get a job anywhere.
That's right.
Well, hospice nursing kind of came to me. I was working at the hospital, the medical surgical floor. You'll certainly get a lot of good experience there. Someone said, you know, I'm kind of a sucker for the elderly, and I would spend a little bit more time in their rooms. I love the geriatric population.
Right.
So someone came to me and said, you know, you should check out hospice nursing. And, you know, I had to think about that.
You were probably scared at first, too, I'm assuming.
At first, I was a little bit afraid. But I tell you what, the first time you're able to witness somebody, to be present in that moment that they pass, it's very, very special. And to have the family around them, it's generally a very good spiritual passing. So
I agree, and well said is all I got to say. I mean, that is exactly right, and you got to have a passion for it.
You do, and I love it.
And knowing that you're part of it, you know, a privileged, I don't want to mm-hmm. say service, but again, just being a part of it. Mm-hmm. I mean, that person has a million relationships throughout their life. They've had a million encounters, and you're part of that. Into the journey, you're part.
Sometimes it's just you and the patient. You know, it might be the middle of the night, and you're there for them. So it's pretty magical when it happens.
How great! And again, I don't want to ask you too many questions, and you know, me and you both start crying here on the radio. But do you have any cool stories or any clients that ever resonate through your mind? Maybe back.
Yeah, there's always there's always different patients. There's stories, absolutely.
Right.
I mean, it isn't always elderly people. end of life happens to many people. We only deal with the adult population.
Right.
But we've dealt with some younger, you know, maybe someone in their 30s and dealing with, say, liver failure,
right,
or something like that, and they have children. That part is gut-wrenching. You know, it's difficult, but how much easier is it that they're able to have their family around them?
Right.
There's many stories. I, you know, love the old war stories of our veterans,
right,
you know, to be, every time we go there, they talk about their stories.
Right.
So you're getting attached to not just the family, but the patient and, you know, vice versa. It's pretty magical.
Do you, you know, it's funny. I'm intrigued just listening to it. Honestly, I'm just like, wow. I mean, how special? I mean, really, it's absolutely how special. Do you ever get any, you know, like somebody ever, you know, tell you like, hey, I just want to tell you, I can't tell anybody. I've never told. I'm going to tell you something. And, you know, like, I guess someone's like last wish or last, you know,
yeah,
anyway, like, hey, I got a buried treasure X, Y, and Z, or
yeah,
you ever getting kind of funny
stories? I've
like,
got, well, not so funny. They're usually pretty like,
stuff,
oh,
you don't want to hear.
What did you just tell me? No.
Right.
No, I mean, they're, you kind of become their confidant for sure.
You bet.
And they feel comfortable with you, as they should.
Right.
And they do, they tell you a lot of wonderful stories from their life.
That's great.
So,
and I bet from the family, I mean, I could only imagine, yeah, the relationships you built. So do you still have families that, you know, they
in
keep
contact
in touch? I imagine.
You know, our company's only been around for the last 2 years.
Right.
But we have actually had spouses say, oh, you took care of my husband or you took care of my wife. And they're calling us back saying, we want you back in our home. So that's pretty special.
That is special. That,
yeah,
which,
you know,
which,
you did something right.
Right, right. Which leads me back to one of my questions right before the break. We kind of talked about volunteers, and this is what I want to touch on. Do you get, you know, seniors that want to volunteer? It just seems like it'd,
you know,
be a great,
we,
volunteer program.
Basically, you just need to be 18 and older.
Right.
Generally, no religious faith, just,
right,
whatever, just be a caring individual.
Right.
We do get seniors. Every once in a while, you can contact us through our website. You can call our office number. We encourage you. We are always looking for wonderful volunteers, even if it's just one day every other week for an hour or two.
So what does a volunteer do? What would they do for each,
yeah, that's a great question. Some things that our volunteers will do is just being present in the moment, maybe when it's getting close to the end, and just,
right,
putting your arm on their shoulder and being present. Listening to music. We've had a volunteer that would turn on the big band music, you know.
Great.
And the patient, he just absolutely loved it. Whenever that volunteer would come, they would listen to the big hits, you know. So it was pretty special. You can be reading. You could be just talking, an ear to bend, a soundboard, right?
Right.
Maybe playing cards. One time I did have a patient that actually I was doing the nursing for, but I actually kind of spent some time with him just after the visit, kind of volunteering.
Right.
And we had a game of poker at his house, just he and I, you know, and he had some other family members that were there, but it was just basically he and I playing, and it was just fun.
Did
it
you
was
win?
Fun.
Did you win? I mean, I got to ask.
well, not this time. There was no money involved.
I could imagine if he's a...
You try and do something special, you know,
right,
for the different families. And that's what I encourage the volunteers to do, is do something special.
Oh, that's great. Well, and you said, so if someone is interested in volunteer, and of course if someone's interested in hospice services, I recommend they give you a call. And what is that phone number, Michelle?
The phone number is 286-4219. That's 505.
505, great, great.
Yeah.
And then, like you said, they can also go on your website and look
They can
up
go to our website. We also have a Facebook. Our website is eastmountainhospice.com.
East Mountain.
One word.
All those services outside of East Mountain as well. You can put that in your website. Could that be your motto?
Right.
That's our name, but we service everywhere.
Yeah, exactly. Many areas.
Well,
the greater Albuquerque area.
That's great. Well, I hope you get a whole bunch of volunteers. I mean, you know, I would think college students or people getting into nursing would want to volunteer with you as well, too. That just seems like such a great opportunity just to see, even if they like hospice. Or, so I definitely recommend that. But I do know we are going to take a break, Michelle, and we will talk more about hospice, volunteers, and all kinds of good stuff. So don't go away. You're listening to the Health and Aging Show on 1050 KTBL. Welcome back to the Health and Aging Show. I'm your host, Jason McDermott, and I want to remind you that the Health and Aging Show is brought to you by Mariposa Home Health. If you have a loved one who's getting older and needs some assistance, Mariposa has caregivers who can help as little as 2 hours a day or 24 hours a day with transportation, bathing, meal preparation, and more. Rates are surprisingly affordable. Call Mariposa Home Health today at 505-234-1744 or visit their website at www.mariposahomehealth.com. That's M-A-R-I-P-O-S-A, homehealth.com. If you're just tuning in, we have been talking with Michelle Barchaka, is that how to say?
Yeah.
I messed
Barchaka.
Up. Barchaka.
Barchaka.
I'm going to get that right.
You'll get it.
I'll get it right when you leave the studio. That's what's going to happen.
Well, you'll eventually get it right.
That's right. And you know, it's funny, giving our sponsors a little plug there, I was thinking to myself, like, well, one thing we don't offer is hospice, and that's why we got you here, because you're with East Mountain Hospice Services, is that correct?
Correct.
That's good, and that's good, and we have been talking about hospice services and all the other services, honestly, that you guys entail. I mean, we talked about social workers, you guys have, you guys said you had a director.
We have a medical director who's a physician.
That's right.
And then a chaplain and health aides that help with showers. And
so like we said before,
team.
You got a whole team. That's right.
A team.
You have an East Mountain team. Before we get going, I want to make sure that, I actually forgot to do this earlier, and it is today, so no pressure on myself here, but, there is a Hurricane Harvey fundraiser going on, and I imagine this is, you know, was kind of started before the Irma hurricane. So definitely just want to let everybody know it is today from 8 o'clock to 10:30 at Paloma Landing Retirement, and they're over off of, I think they're a Paseo and Barstow area. Their address is 8301 Palomas, Northeast. They're going to have pancakes, breakfast, scrambled eggs, fruit, bacon, sausage, juice, and coffee right after the show. Believe me, I'm running out of here, and I will be over there. So definitely look forward to meeting everybody over there. But good opportunity to get everybody involved in, you know, fundraising for, you know, the hurricane victims. And, you know, I do know they have a $7 suggested donation, but I'm sure they'll take whatever. I definitely look forward to seeing some people over there, and you can see me stuffing my face. So I might have to drag Michelle with me. She's over here smiling like, well, you did not say anything about this.
You didn't invite me.
That's
coming.
Right. You are invited. So hopefully you'll see everybody over there. Anyways, we'll get back to the show here. We have been talking with, again, Michelle with East Mountain Hospice, and our big joke is you actually provide services outside of East Mountain.
Yeah, so maybe, our office is in the East Mountains, but we have patients and staff all over the greater Albuquerque area.
I think we need to make that a motto, you know, maybe on your business card.
Maybe,
East Mountain and beyond or something.
Okay.
We'll get some branding experts for you, don't worry.
Okay.
Anyways, before we went to a break, we were talking about really kind of what hospice services is, and you know, what you guys do exactly, and when, I guess I want to make sure our listeners understand is, when is the best time? And I want to make sure they understand it doesn't have to be a doctor to call you guys for the family. Honestly, if you really want to know the truth, and you kind of mentioned this a little, sometimes they might even wait too late, that it's in the control of the family, that maybe if they feel like, you know what, mm-hmm. maybe we should look into hospice services. They can call you directly, and you're a nurse. You can come out, do an assessment, and then contact, you know, her doctor, their doctor, whoever's doctor, and see if it's appropriate. I'm assuming, is that how it works?
That's exactly one way.
Right.
We get referrals directly from the doctor. We get referrals from assisted livings, hospitals, the case managers that are doing the discharges. Really, anybody can do a referral. It just needs to hopefully not happen in the very last moment. To be able to have that extra layer of care, months to be able to have that extra layer is, it's necessary. Sometimes they are just too weak and they need some extra care. So they can do this, in their home. We have nursing that comes out, you know, the staff comes out to the home or the assisted living, wherever the patient is.
Right. And again, we talked about it's sometimes it's just not one person. It could be, you know, they could utilize a social worker. They could utilize mm-hmm. a nurse. They can utilize mm-hmm. a home health person.
Mm-hmm. It's generally always the nurse and the medical director that are involved, but you have the option of getting the extra help from, say, a chaplain or social worker.
You bet. And mm-hmm. I'd recommend anybody listening that if that's something they're considering, but they've been kind of waiting for the doctor to make the call.
Yeah, no, you can make the call. Just give us a call. We can come out and assess that day and just take a look at everything that's going on. Look at their medical records. Look at the patient. Talk with the patient. See what are some of the concerns, some of the things that maybe scare you. Let's talk about it.
Right. And I'm getting ahead of myself here, but what would prompt someone to make that? What would prompt someone to be like, you know what, maybe it's time for some hospice? And I know maybe that's a question, but maybe not. I mean, maybe.
That's a really good question. Let's say this family member used to be walking and talking.
Right.
Now they're laying in bed 18 hours a day. They're having a hard time swallowing. Let's say their speech is gone. They have pain, uncontrolled pain. They just don't want to go to have any more treatments for whatever the process is. They're just wanting some extra care in their home.
And they can call you. And like you said, most of the time this is covered by Medicare, correct?
Most of the time it's Medicare. If you've ever worked, generally you've got Medicare, right?
Right.
And Medicare is a great service that pays for these services.
And I do know that, you know, some people listening are probably like, oh, Medicare is so hard to navigate, which honestly, I agree. I've actually, you know, that's a Medicare people on. And mm-hmm. it's a hard program to navigate. And so
our social worker can help navigate the Medicare system.
Right.
Mostly they've already have it by the time they come to us, but we do have some that are kind of on the cusp, and we can work with them on that.
Great, and kind of help them figure out what's covered and what's not.
Exactly.
But like you said, most of the time, most hospice is covered by Medicare, and I want to emphasize that enough because I know someone's probably listening like, oh, well, we can't afford hospice.
Right, you know, it doesn't cost them anything. Yeah. It's nothing out of their pocket, you know. And then also something that hospice provides is we provide things like a hospital bed, a wheelchair, a walker.
Really? See, I did not know that.
Yeah.
Honestly, I'm in industry. I had no idea.
It's called durable medical equipment.
Right.
It's just something. It's another layer that hospice brings in. So let's say your dad's been sleeping in the chair all night long because he can't breathe because he has congestive heart failure or lung problems.
Right.
A lot of people just sleep in the chair all night. If we can bring a hospital bed in that can elevate their, you know, top of the bed so they can breathe easier. It's easier to get in and out of. It doesn't cost them anything. It's just a service, an added service that Medicare provides for hospice.
And that's something, and I'm glad we're talking about this, is that something they don't have to go to another company. You can do that through the hospice.
We have a company we use.
Oh, that's great.
We've got some great connections. And also pharmacy. We deal with the pharmacy, too. We have a pharmacy company that will deliver to their door, which is wonderful.
Oh, that is great. Well, and again, that's what a great service and such a, I don't want to say such a broad service, but it kind of is, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, you guys offer
end of life.
Yeah. It's, like you said, a team effort. And mm-hmm. I'm trying to visualize it's just not, you know, just a small little, you know, service you guys are doing. I mean, you got a lot of people involved, which is great. And I do have a question because, you know, of course, I come from the home health side. If someone receiving home health, can they also even tell, hey, you know, can they reach out to the home health agency? Hey, can you guys call a hospice agency for us? You know,
we do. We get referrals from home health companies. We've gotten referrals from a house calls agency,
right.
A company, House Calls to You. We've gotten some referrals from them. They
Let's back that up there. House Calls to You.
Yeah.
And we kind of talked about this over the break, which I was like, you need to say that over there.
House Calls to You is a company that has, say, nurse practitioners that come out to the home that maybe aren't appropriate for hospice yet.
Right.
So it's care in their home when they don't want to go to the doctors or are not strong enough to go to the doctors all the time. They have to pretty much be homebound. They go to nursing homes. They go to assisted livings. They go to houses.
Right.
All the time. And so we've gotten referrals from them when their patient has just declined to the point where they don't want to do any more preventative measures and maintenance, and we'll get referrals from them.
What a great service. House House Calls to You, and I'm assuming that's the name of a company.
It's their company. Work. Actually, right. They even have a website, housecallstoyou.com.
Well, that's pretty hard.
Right? Right.
No, that's great. House Calls to You, that is great. And I'm assuming those are all nurses that are coming out, right?
Nurse practitioners that come out. Correct.
So, and again, we won't get into that. This would be another program, but I know you're an RN. There is a difference between a nurse practitioner, and I have one in my family, so I know that. So a nurse practitioner, can do a lot more. Let's say someone calls, House Calls to You, a nurse practitioner comes out, they can come out, if their medications needs, they can write that.
Nurse practitioners in the state of New Mexico and many, many states, work autonomously. They handle all the medical care, referrals, prescriptions,
So I guess my
they
point
refer
is,
to home health sometimes,
right.
And they refer to caregiving companies as well.
You bet, and that's what I'm kind of getting at. I don't want to say eliminates the doctor. I'm not trying to say that. I just mean it does save a step. I guess is what I'm trying to say. If it needs to save a step,
and yeah, they do a lot of review of medications and clean them up. The medications and what have you. So
I think that's great.
We've gotten some referrals from them and some other companies.
And again, that's housecallstoyou.com.
Yeah,
I sound like an info commercial.
But they're
all us today.
They are just so helpful in coming out to families when they are homebound.
And honestly, and that's why I wanted to say, because it is such a needed service. We're in industry and. We need more nurses out there and, visiting people and checking vitals and doing stuff like that.
Yeah.
I think that's a great. Well, I know what. So if someone wants to call you and talk to you about hospice, what's your number again?
Our hospice phone number, it's East Mountain Hospice. And we do cover the greater Albuquerque areas as well as the East Mountains. The phone number is 286-4219. That's 505 area code.
Great, great. And then I know you guys got a website. That's eastmountainhospice.com, correct?
Correct. All one word.
That's easy enough. Well, you're making it too easy on me today.
You're welcome.
Well, I tell you what, don't go away. We're going to talk more about hospice and East Mountain Hospice Services when we return. This is the Health and Aging Show on 1050 KTBL. Welcome back to the Health and Aging Show. I'm your host, Jason McDermott, and I want to remind you that the Health and Aging Show is brought to you by Mariposa Home Health. If you have caregivers who need assistance, Mariposa Home Health has caregivers who can help as little as 2 hours a day to 24 hours a day with transportation, bathing, meal preparation, and more. Rates are surprisingly affordable. Call Mariposa Home Health today at 505-234-1744. Or visit their website at www.mariposahomehealth.com. That's MARIPOSA homehealth.com. If you're just tuning in, we have been talking with Michelle with East Mountain Hospice. I guess our joke of the show is really it's East Mountain and surrounding areas hospice.
Yeah, we cover the greater Albuquerque area as well.
That's right, and that's great, and we're glad you do, so thank you. And I do know before we kind of get back into talking about hospice and I want to talk about volunteers, I got a lot to talk about here at the end of the show here, Michelle, so hold on. But I do want to talk about the fundraiser that's going on today. It's actually from 8 to 10:30. I'm actually going to be racing over right after the show because I'm actually hungry, and it's a fundraiser with pancakes, scrambled eggs, fruit, bacon. Hopefully there's still going to be some bacon left for me, and coffee. It's for hurricane victims, and it's going to be over at Paloma Landing Retirement, and that's over off, I think it's around Paseo and Barstow area. I do know it is today from 8 to 10:30, and they're at 8301 Palomas Avenue Northeast. Feel free to come by. I look forward to meeting everybody, and definitely hopefully we can all come together and enjoy some pancakes and help some victims out with the hurricanes. So with that being said, let's hurry and get going here so we can get the show over so I can go get some pancakes, Michelle. No pressure. You got a lot to tell me in a few minutes here, but
I'll do my best.
Yeah. So again, I know we've talked about hospice services, and then you're the owner, you're an RN, you're in good company, you do great, you got a great passion for what you do. Again, what a great business. And I know you guys do, you guys serve people in Belen, Las Lunas, and Albuquerque. Of course, I know that on a personal level, you guys work in Albuquerque. Let's talk about your team, because we were kind of talking about that during the
break.
Yeah,
I have such a right now. I have such a great team. They are so caring and so empathetic, listening, a good support group. I'm just really fortunate. My social worker, my chaplain, my nurses, my office staff. I have a really great team right now. I'm pretty proud of them right now.
Oh, that's good. I'm glad.
Very lucky.
Give them some kudos, because, like you said, you have to have those people that have the passion and empathy, especially in a hospice environment. I mean,
I'm just so fortunate.
Yeah, well, that's good, and I'm glad to, let's get some names out. I'm just kidding.
They've been handpicked.
Yeah, they've been handpicked, yeah. We're calling on you. Thank you. Mm. I'm glad, and definitely, like you said, and so with hospice, you are getting a team of people, like you said, chaplains and social workers and the whole thing here.
Nursing, yes.
Uh-huh. Absolutely. So, I just want to encourage people that, if they feel, they're kind of waiting for the doctor to make the call, no pun intended, but they can actually make the call.
The call when they feel that they really don't want to do any more preventative procedures, let's say, and they really are declining, a significant decline. We can certainly, come and do an assessment. And then we can get your medical records from your physicians that's been in charge of the care of this patient, and we can get the referral from the doctor. But really all it takes is just a phone call, and we'll go ahead and come out and do an assessment.
So I'm going to have you give your number out again. And could I even call you with just questions? Maybe they're not ready for someone to come in, but maybe they just want to.
Sometimes we do get just questions. Like, what's the next step? How do we start this process? And we walk them through. Our phone number is 505 area code 286-4214.